I didn't come to church tonight to do what I'm going to do. I know it's late. But the scripture the preacher just got through dealing with in the Mark's gospel, if thou wilt, thou canst. That was a sinner, a human being with issues and problem. And he was addressing God by asking, and he addressed him on the basis of his will. I want everybody to note that. If thou wilt. Isn't that what he said? And so anyway, just I want to challenge you about something before we leave tonight. And again, I didn't come to deal with this. I come open to deal with whatever the Lord wants me to deal with. He can change, direct me whatever way He wants to. And I want to just ask you to turn a few pages over from where the preacher had you to Mark's Gospel chapter 10, I believe it is. I want you to look at that, Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. I'm going to turn back there just a moment and read, look at that scripture that he was referring to. And Mark, you don't have to turn there, but I want to read it. Mark chapter 1 verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, saying unto him. There's a lot of him stuff going on there. You can tell somebody's getting interested when him gets bigger than me. And he said unto him, if thou wilt. That word wilt is appealing to his will. If you're willing, thou canst make me clean. He said, if you're willing and you have a desire to, he said that you are certainly able and you certainly have the power to do it. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And then Jesus said in verse 41, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will. That removed all doubt. That was a statement of fact. That was a statement of forwardness. I'm ready to move forward. I will be thou clean. And well, there's a lot of preaching right there. There's a lot of preaching that could be done right there. But look in chapter 10 of Mark's gospel. Start in verse 46. What we're going to do, I'm going to show you another angle of that similar statement. The Bible said, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal. Maybe you need to get more serious. Maybe you need to get more loud. Maybe you need, I'm talking about more aggressive. He was already aggressive, but when people told him just to kindly, you know, be quiet and all of that, his need got bigger than their recommendation and their suggestion. And he realized that my hope was walking by. My only hope of what is walking by, and his name's Jesus. And the Bible said that basically he went to another level. He cried out the more. And if it had just left it at that, we would have understood that. But the Bible said he cried the more, a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And note this statement in light of Mark's gospel, where the leper come to Jesus and said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole or make me clean. But look at this, verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Do you see the difference? The blind man said, what wilt thou that I, or Jesus said to the blind man, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. It's amazing. He didn't have to study on what he needed. He already knew what he needed. And you know what? I believe you know what you need tonight. I can honestly say tonight, I don't know what you need, but I can say I know who you need. In one passage, the pastor, maybe that's the reason we're dressed alike tonight, that was unplanned. He was going to challenge you with one scripture, and the reason I said I wasn't ready was I was looking at trying to find that scripture, because I thought, well, you know, and it was working in my heart just there at the spur of the moment. And here we find the right the opposite of that. One, we find the sinner or the person addressing the Lord if about his will. Are you willing? Do you have a desire? And then followed that up with faith that said, thou canst make me clean. But here we find Jesus is the one asking the question. Jesus is the one looking at the need. Jesus is look because he heard the cry. Before, amen. Of course, we all believe tonight that he knew exactly where blind Bartimaeus was. And if the truth be known, he was walking that way on purpose because of that. You know, Jesus did have he had a good reputation of being where he needed to be right on time. He didn't accidentally go anywhere. He didn't ever turn right or left and say, oh, I'm sorry, I missed that one. I thought that man was down on this street and he was on the other street, or, you know. No, he never makes a mistake. He said in John 4, he must needs go through Samaria. That wasn't uncommon. That was unpermitted. That was even unlawful for a Jew to go through Samaria. But you see, Jesus was more interested in the lost than he was the law. I mean, he was going to fulfill the law, but he was coming here to forgive the lost. He came to forgive the lost. And so he went through Samaria, and guess where he went? He didn't aimlessly, I'm going to feel my way through, and maybe I'll wind up at the right place. No, he made a beeline. He knew exactly where that Samaritan woman had been frequenting, and he knew her need. He knew her hopelessness. He knew she was a reject, and he went straight to Jacob's well and was sitting there waiting on her. He was there before she ever got there. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe somebody could have said, had it been somebody there, hush, you missed it. You're at the well and ain't nobody here. I guarantee he'd say, she's coming. She's coming. It's just not time for her to be here yet. See, Jesus works on time. He works on, he's a timely Savior. Amen. He's got this revival on time. This revival wasn't just thrown it together at the last minute. This revival is on time. Amen. And it's for a purpose. And guess what? He was here. This thing was in the plans. This thing was in the praying long before we ever had the first meeting last night or Sunday. He knew you coming. He knew you was going to be here. He's got your number. Thank God when Jesus gets your number, you might as well pick the phone up and say hello, because he is not going to give up. He's not going to back out. He's not going to run away. He's coming. Amen. Thank God. Aren't you glad for that day Jesus got on your trail? He got on your path. Thank God he got in your bed. He got in your car. Thank God he got. Amen. I remember when he got my attention. Amen. Sure, I remember that. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. And he come here, and blind Bartimaeus is at the same place where he probably is laid every day. And he's blind, and he's got another problem. He's a beggar. I believe a lot of times, spiritually speaking, I believe the reason we're so beggarly spiritually is because that we are blind spiritually, probably. See, blindness was an inward problem. Begging was an outward problem. I think our outward problems is coming from an inward problem. Say amen right there. But when Jesus and blind Bartimaeus got close together there, and Jesus asked the question, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" He's appealing to his will, just like the leper was appealing to Christ's will. "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And thank God Jesus said to the leper what he will say to you tonight: "I will, be thou clean." You'll never hear Jesus say to you, "Not me, not now. You too bad, you're too far, you're too far gone." No, you won't never hear Jesus say that. Amen. No matter how that leper was nasty, that leper was stinking, that leper was condemned, that leper was excommunicated, that leper, my friend, was defiled and was on a head-on collision to death, because there was no cure for leprosy. But somehow or another, in spite of how he felt, in spite of how he looked, in spite of how he smelled, in spite of what other people did and didn't do, how they mistreated him and whatever, he ran to Jesus. He got in a hurry about it. If you're here tonight and you're lost, or you're here tonight and you've got a need and you've got a problem and it's wearing you out, amen, you need to get in a hurry about that thing. We need to get in a hurry about revival and run to Jesus. Isn't it? Zacchaeus made haste and come down. Amen. And he received him joyfully. Huh? The leper said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He said, "I will, be thou clean." Amen. Whatever your issue is, it's not too bad. It may be too bad for me. I probably have to tell you I can't help you other than point you to Jesus. I may have to tell you tonight a few verses to look at, but I personally can't help you. But Jesus can help you tonight. Thank God Jesus can set you free. He can do what needs to be done. But he said to blind Bartimaeus, okay. And the Bible said something very important there. Jesus stood still. The crowd didn't stop Jesus. The devil didn't stop him. But when he heard the cry of an element of faith in a person that had no hope, the Bible said Jesus stood still. He stopped. He said, "Oh, somebody needs me right here. There's no need for me to go any further." Amen. And commanded him to be brought. Didn't you notice that? Commanded him to be brought. "Bring him to me. Bring him to me." Amen. And you know what blind Bartimaeus did? He cast off his garment. You know, by that gesture, he's saying, before he was ever healed now, by that gesture right there, he said, "I'm not going to need these old beggarly garments no more. I'm fixing to get more help than a little ching ching in the cup. I'm fixing to meet the Christ of God, the Christ of heaven." Amen. That's right. And he came to him and he said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Jesus knew before he asked that question. Just like God in the Garden of Eden when he said, "Adam, where art thou?" He didn't ask that to find out. He knew. Amen. There's something about you admitting with your mouth and you saying in your mouth. That's what confession is. When you come to an altar, don't beat around the bush with God, but confess. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He said, what wilt thou? What is it that's in your heart? What is in your mind? What is in your desires that requires me? What do you? I want to ask you something tonight. What do you want tonight that requires Jesus? That's a big statement right there. What is it that you're desiring spiritually? What is it that you're desiring in your family? What is it that you're desiring in your children or in your home? What is it that you're desiring in your church? What is it you're desiring in your Sunday school class? What is it you're desiring in your ministry? Mamas, what are you desiring that requires Him? Daddies, what are you requiring? What are you desiring and wanting that requires the Son of God? You young people, oh, I've got a heart for young people. And I want to ask you a question. What is it that you desire? Do you have any spiritual desires? What desire do you have that only Christ can meet that desire? Amen. What wilt thou? What's on your mind? What's in your heart? What kind of desires do you have? What's your request that requires me? You called out to me. I stopped. We're here now. Jesus could have acted sovereignly and just said, you're healed. But He waited on a confession. He waited on faith to come out of that man named Bartimaeus. Jesus responds to faith. And without hesitation, blind Bartimaeus said, no more quicker than Jesus, that last word He said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? I believe within just a split second or less, He responded. And He didn't respond like this. Let's see here now. What would be a good answer to that? I wonder what, hey mom, hey cousin John, what should I tell Jesus on this? You know the kind of help Jesus, you know the people that gets help, that people knows what's wrong with them. Preacher, I was preaching one time at our church not long ago, and I got to noticing that there was a common denominator in all of the people that Jesus helped. All of the people that Jesus helped, all the people that Jesus healed, there was a common denominator. You know what it was? And boy, it hit me while I was preaching, and I about had a spell with it. You know what it was? He dealt with every one of them based on what was wrong with them. Every one of them, He dealt with what was wrong with them. Amen? If they was blind, guess how He dealt with them? With their blindness. If they were a leper, He dealt with them about their leprosy. If they had a deaf and dumb spirit, He dealt with them based on their being dumb, not being able to speak, and deaf, not being able to hear. If they were lame, guess how He dealt with them? He dealt with them about their lameness. Amen. If they were dead, He dealt with them about their deadness. He dealt with people based on what was wrong with them. I want to tell you, if we're going to have revival this week, if we're going to have revival tonight, if we're going to have revival, and we must have revival, if we're going to have it, guess what? Jesus is going to do the exact same thing. He may come to you, speak to you, amen, and call you and invite you, but guess what? He's got on His mind what's wrong with you. Amen. Amen. You know how you will not get help? Go to the altar about what's wrong with other people. Well, Lord, you know, I don't have any joy anymore, but it's your oh so-and-so's fault. You know, they said something about me. You might as well not even make a trip to the altar, because that'll be a wasted trip. I tell you, when you'll get help, it's when you, amen, when Jesus said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He didn't respond, Lord, I want you to deal with my enemies. Lord, I want you to deal with, oh, what's her face and what's his face? Amen. Amen. They've been mean to me. They hadn't been putting no alms in my cup. Amen. Get with them. Get them, Lord. Get them. Get them. No, 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 no. He got personal. He got personal. He said, Lord, that I might receive myself. right. That's what I want. What's wrong with me corrected. I want what's wrong with me fixed. We'll have revival when we get there. Well, I just tell you right now, Preacher Ackett, ain't nothing wrong with me. You're the first one that needs to be in the altar. It's amazing how you pay attention to what's wrong with you physically. And when you go to the doctor, guess what he asks? What's wrong with you? Maybe not in those words, but it's the same thing. What's wrong with you? Where are you hurting at? What's your problem? What's your symptoms? Hey, man. What's wrong with you tonight? Hey, man, one lady came to the altar one time years ago. I heard this story years ago, and she said to the preacher, said, Lord's dealing with me about something, but I'm not sure about what. I could clarify that real quick. God never deals with questions like that. If he's dealing with you, he's put his finger on it. And that story went on to say, when she told that pastor that, well, preacher, Lord's dealing with me about something. I just don't know what it is. You know what he told her? He said, ma'am, just get in the altar and guess at it. And she got in the altar, and she was in the altar forever, and she was crying and boo-hooing and everything in the altar. Finally, she got up, and she said to the preacher, he said, how about it, ma'am? And she said, I guessed it first thing. We know what's wrong with us physically. We know immediately when we're not feeling good. We know immediately if we should start addressing it with home remedies or whatever, or if it's something more serious that we have to go to the doctor. But either way, we've got one thing in our mind. What's wrong with me? I don't like it. Amen. And if you want to know the truth about it, you know what was driving blind Bartimaeus? Dissatisfaction. The worst thing that could happen to you is to become satisfied with what's wrong with you. And here's how you can do that. Well, you know, I do have this problem, but it's not near as big a problem as Sister So-and-so's problem. When you bring other people into your problem, into your trip to the altar, I promise, listen, you will never have to repent for somebody else's sin. God will never chasten you over somebody else's sin. So if you've lost your joy and you've lost your drive, lost your loyalty to the house of God and the Bible and the things of God, you can't blame it on somebody else. Amen? 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 That's right. Listen to this. Lord, give this to me several years ago. No one person can be spiritual enough for two people. So if you're not spiritual, it ain't because somebody else is dropping the ball and not carrying your hide. I'll tell you, it's because you have done something, you're doing something, you're going in a direction, whatever, that's causing that spiritual bankruptcy in your life. If you're going to get some help, look what it said here. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord. That's a good place to start. Lord. Are you wanting help to the point that you're willing to let Jesus be Lord of your life? That right there will bring revival to any person, any family, and any church. A revival of the Lordship of Christ in your life. Most of the time we're defeated. Most of the time we're defiled. Most of the time we're distant and we're divided because, listen, we're wanting Jesus to only have what we permit Him to have, authority-wise. Lord, you can deal with this, but not that. We've got little tape, you know, we stretch around in our heart and it says, do not cross, do not trespass. Revival comes when you throw your arms wide open and say, Lord, any area in my life, anything in my life, deal with it. Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You say, preacher, what is the key? Dissatisfaction's number one. As long as you're satisfied being unplugged and unhappy and miserable and unfaithful and unforgiven and 100 other things can be added to that. As long as you're satisfied, you'll never... Listen, if you're satisfied... Lord, give me this statement. I didn't even write it down. I meant to and I forgot it. And it come back to me right then. When you was up a while ago being satisfied with your life, you was talking about being satisfied with your life. He made a statement. God gave me a thought, a saying, and I was going to write it down. And I thought, and the Lord dealt with me about going to the altar. No, so I got my mind on the Lord, forgot the saying. And I said over there, Lord, what was that? It was good. I know it was good, but I didn't write it down. I have to write stuff down, I'm telling you. And it just come back to me right now. If you're satisfied with where you're living, then you will never leave that place. There's a connection between your living and your leaving. Amen. Whatever level that you're living on, if you're satisfied with that level, you will never leave that level. Amen. Satisfaction is killing us. Come on now. How many of us has went? I remember going to my mom, but she cooked. Kelly had to verify that. Man, she could throw on some groceries. She'll probably be helping up her, I'd imagine. Her and grandma, they're going to be up there making them cat head biscuits, friend. Woo, gravy. Come on. I better get off that. We'll be having to dismiss. Are you listening? And I remember going, a lot of time, you know, we'd be running around in the community and everything, in and out of everybody's houses and stuff. And then it was time for my daddy'd come out on the edge of the hill and whistle, and you could hear him all the way to Arkansas just about it. Supper's ready! And buddy, we'd make our way. I don't think about that. I wasn't hungry. I'd done been eating candy bars. And I'd go in there, and their mom would have a spread of food. My goodness. And I'd sit down and I'd just be piddling, you know, piddling with my fork in the plate. I mean good food, brother. I'm talking about country stuff, amen. And Mama would look at me and she'd say, all right, Barry, what have you been eating? You know why I wasn't eating the good? I'd already been satisfied with the bad. We come to church on Sunday morning, bored out of our mind while the teacher's teaching or the preacher's preaching. You know, we've been feeding on unfit things all week long. This satisfaction was the number one key. That was the foundational start for blind Bartimaeus' miracle. Amen. To get the help that he needed. Not only was, listen to this, it wasn't just his dissatisfaction. He had to have something else. He had to have a dependence. He had to have a faith in somebody else. He realized what's wrong with me. I know what's wrong with me, but I can't fix it. Amen. If you can fix it, then God expects you to fix it. But if something's wrong with you that you can't fix, that's when you need to go to Jesus and say, Lord, I can't, but you can. If thou wilt, thou canst. Amen. And have some faith about it and dependence upon the Lord. Not only dissatisfaction and desire, but also dependence, but also determination. Why did he cry out the more the great deal? He was determined. He was not going to let that revival get by him. He was determined he wasn't going to let that message be preached in vain. He was determined he wasn't going to let Jesus just come in his vicinity and not touch him. He was not going to be satisfied with that. Amen. He was determined. Are we determined we're going to have revival? Are we determined we're going to get some help? Are we determined we're going to be changed? Amen. And also, he wanted a difference. I want to be different. That goes kind of along with that satisfaction issue. I want to be different. I don't like the way I am. I don't like what's wrong with me. I want a difference made. Amen. Can you honestly say, Lord, I want you to change me in this revival. I want to be changed. Amen. There was a family I counseled with many years ago, and I wouldn't have given you a run over nickel for their marriage. It was that far gone. And I'm telling you, they're happy as a bug in a rug today, and that's been years ago, years, probably 20-something years ago. And I asked one day, I said, what was the deal on that? And you know what the wife told me? She said, I quit praying, change him. And I started praying, Lord, change me. And they're happy as a bug in a rug. It worked. It must have been. Huh? Amen. Want a difference? Do you want a difference? I'm amazed. I'm gonna meddle right here in a second. I'm amazed how many parents love their children and like the condition they're in. Spiritually, I'm talking about. They got children that don't show any fruit of being saved. In fact, we got some in our church. The kids are not even saved. Never made a profession. And I don't know. And I've even said it in the pulpit. I said, I don't ever see the parents getting stirred up about the fact your children are lost. They may be good kids, but they're lost kids. And lost kids, whether they're good or rebels, it don't matter. They go to the same. Do you want your children different? Are you satisfied with them just being good kids? Do you want them to turn out and serve God? Well, I just want them to be happy. That's one of the worst rules you can live by. That's one of the worst rules that's not even biblical. Show me that in this King James Bible where happiness is to be the leading factor in your life. I've heard parents say, well, I just want them to be happy. I don't care who they marry. What? You think that probably that pursuit of happiness would probably had something to do with the alcoholic man becoming an alcoholic? Well, if I'll be happy. If I smoke dope, I'll be happy. Happiness, my friend, what can lead you away from God. Amen. Happiness depends on happenings. Joy comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do you want something changed? Do you want to be different? If you don't want nothing different and you're okay, then this message tonight is not for you. We got to want it. We got to want it. Amen. I appreciate the preacher minding the Lord tonight and reading that scripture because that wasn't what I come up here to deal with. What I'm dealing with is not what I come up here to deal with. Let me give you one other thing real quick. Not only was there a difference he had in mind, I want to be different. I want to be made different. I'm tired of the way I am. I'm tired. Have you ever, I've heard people say this recently, I'm tired of being miserable. We had a lady in our church got right with the Lord. You know, I mean, been faithful to church. But she said, I'm tired of being mad. Just angry. And she said, you know what? I don't even know what I was mad about. People today is stressed out. All this junk going on in this country, needlessly going on in this country. Amen, that's right. Amen. I know a church and I preach in it every year in a different state. And the church is divided. It's going to split right down the middle. Sure as if the Lord don't intervene somehow or another, it's going to split right down the middle. You know what it's all about? And I'm not saying this to anybody. I'm just saying this is what it is. You know what it is? Who's wearing masks and who ain't wearing masks? Those that wear masks says to the pastor, we're not coming if all those others don't have it on. That's as carnal. That's as carnal and selfish. There's not a lick on it. We tell our people, if you want to wear them, then praise God, wear them. But if you don't have to wear them. If you don't want to wear them, then you don't have to wear them. Respect one another. This is America, or at least what's left of it. Amen. This is a place of freedom. You make your own choices. If you don't want to wear them, don't wear them. If you want to wear them, wear them. I treat them the same. I love them the same. I don't care if you wear 10. Amen. Or wear none. It don't make no difference to me. But when you start mandating the pastor to make everybody do like me, then you're wrong. Amen. That's right. Well, I shouldn't have got there. Some of you cut me off right there, friend. I felt it. But you can tell I'm scared. He wanted this. He wanted not only to be different, But he wanted to be a disciple of Christ. This is where most people get off. Look at verse 52. Look at verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and did what? Followed Jesus in the way. Followed Jesus in the way. Become a disciple of the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. He followed Jesus in the way. And it all comes down to that one truth. He wanted Jesus to deal with what was wrong with him. And you know Jesus specializes in that. He didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. He came to call sinners to repentance. Amen. He come to deal with and help people. He come to help people, amen, that's got something wrong with them. Revival, we don't, listen real quick, I'm almost done. Amen. We don't need revival because of what's right with us. Or, let me ask you this question before we go. Is our church dead because we're righteous? Is our church powerless because we are we're doing it good? We're right. Sinners not getting saved, is that because we're right? No, we need revival because evidently, and that's a good word to use, evidently there's something wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with God. Brother Jackie, there's nothing wrong with God. He's still got the power, all power. He's still the God of heaven. He's on the throne. Amen, and all of that. Well, then why is he not manifesting that power in our churches? It's because he works through people. He works through people. We're the ones that's wrong. 2 Chronicles, if my people... He's addressing his people because his people is the problem. He didn't come and deal with the land first and say, well, if this land would repent. No, he came to his people. He said, my people. And then once his people gets right, then he said, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and do what? Heal their land. Listen, we need to get right with the Lord. Get clean, come clean. With the Lord. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Hebrides revival off of the west coast of Scotland on the Isles of Lewis. We know them two old maid sisters in their 80s, one blind and one bent over, crippled with arthritis, that crippling type of arthritis. And they couldn't do nothing. They couldn't even go to church. They couldn't get out and about. They just kind of stayed in their home. But you know what? God called both of them to be prayer warriors. And they prayed every night from about 10 o'clock till about 3 to 4 in the morning that God would send revival to the island of Lewis, Hebrides Islands. And it come down... I'm making a long story, but it come down to where those two ladies called their pastor and said, you better get ready, revival's coming. Get the men and get them praying and revival's coming. And get Duncan Campbell to preach. Call Duncan Campbell and get him over here. He come over there for 2 weeks. He was scheduled to go over there for 2 weeks. And I think he ended up staying about 2 years or more. People getting saved everywhere. But it come all the way down to where that pastor and those men were having a prayer meeting in the barn. And that one young boy, remember what I said last night? Every revival I've ever heard started or was sustained by young people. And that one young boy said in prayer, Lord, is my hands clean? Lord, is my heart clean? That's all he said. And God moved in the barn. And God started saving people. God started moving. When we start getting interested, Lord, am I dirty? Am I filthy? Is my hands clean? Could we add to that, is my mouth clean? Lord, is my mind clean? Is my heart clean? Lord, because God doesn't use filthy people. He doesn't use divine. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. You can't get in a bathtub with soap and water, amen, and clean your soul. What about that I should do unto thee? What if he's asking you that tonight? What is it that you want me to do? What is it that I can do to help you? Is it that I can do to change you? What is it that I can do that you require me that I might receive my sight? You might say that I might and you could fill in the blank, that I might. What could you receive from the Lord that would make you a better Christian, make you a better husband, make you a better wife, make you a better son or daughter, make you a better church member, make you a better Sunday school teacher? Whatever that is, and it's on your mind, you know what it is? That's what you need to be praying about. That's what you need to be praying about. Lord, if you'll do this for me, Lord, if you'll do this, Lord, if this happens, Lord, if you'll fix this, if you'll help me with my mind or my nerves or whatever it is, Lord, I'll be a better Christian. That's what you need to be praying about. Let's all stand. Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, that your will would be done in our heart and life. Lord, I thank you, Father, for allowing us to come together tonight. Thank you for the song service, the blessing, and the challenge. And Lord, we ask you tonight that you would help us to listen to what the pastor challenged us with in the scripture. When he challenged the people and read that scripture about the leper that came to Jesus, appealing to his will, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he said, I will. I will. Blind Bartimaeus, on the other hand, was the one on the receiving end of that question. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he answered. I wonder how many in here tonight, Lord, has an answer to your question. What wilt thou? What's in your will? What's on your mind? What's in your heart that requires me and my power? I wonder if we could quickly answer the question. Lord, I need this. Lord, I want to see my prayers answered. Lord, I want to see that prodigal son or daughter come home. Lord, I want to see our church on fire. Lord, I want to see my Sunday school class filled to capacity. I want to see God moving in power and demonstration. Father, I pray your will to be done. Have your will in your way. And Lord, we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name. Folk are in the altar.